Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing and actually concluding a teaching that I've done all of this week talking about the Sabbath rest. Let me just mention that our offices are closed today because it's Good Friday, and we aren't going to have people answering our phones, but we are going to have our answering machine on. If you would like to call and request these materials that I've been offering, this single tape entitled Our Sabbath Rest, you can still leave your name and address, and we'll send you this as our gift to you. But I wanted to let you know that there will not be people answering the phone. So if you call in expecting to get a person, you won't get a person. But you can still get the tape. And remember, today is our last day to make this tape available to you. Now, I've covered a lot of material, and I wished I could go back and summarize it, but I wouldn't be able to finish what I have to say today if I do that. Again, you need to get this tape. I've said a lot of things from Hebrews chapter 4 is where we started talking about the Sabbath rest. Hebrews chapter 4 was talking about there remains a rest to the people of God. And it's talking about a relationship to where you just trust in Him and rely upon Him, that everything is already done. It's already completed. What I'm saying here goes along perfectly with the teaching I have on you've already got it, if you've heard that teaching. And so it's describing a relationship, but it uses God entering into His rest and saying that if we've entered into God's rest, then we will cease from our own labors as God did from His. That's in Hebrews chapter 4. So we went back in Genesis chapter 1 and we looked about when God made the creation and it said He rested on the seventh day. And we talked about what that meant. It wasn't that He was tired and had to lay down and recover strength, but rather He quit. He ceased because everything was done perfectly, and not only the original creation, but He created in it the ability to procreate. And what He was doing was He prepared everything for Adam and Eve that they needed. They didn't need to go plant their own tree and harvest the fruit. God had already done it all, and all they had to do was reach out and receive what God had already given them. And so the Lord is saying that in the same way that God rested where everything was complete, and then Adam and Eve just moved into that completion where everything was done for them, in the New Testament there is a rest, a relationship where we just enter into the fact that we've already been healed. We're already blessed. God already loves us. We don't have to do things to earn God's favor, but it's already been done. And so I was showing that that's what the Sabbath in the Old Testament was all about. It was a picture, a shadow of that relationship. And Colossians 2, 16 and 17 very clearly makes that point. It lists five things in Colossians chapter 2, 16 that says that they've now been fulfilled in Christ, and the Sabbath was one of them. And yet people have missed this truth, and they've been promoting the observance of a certain day and ritual doings and not doings on that certain day, and they've missed this relationship to where they enter into the joy, the victory, the peace, the provision that God has made. And I've said some things that I know have upset and aggravated a lot of people, but you know what? There are people today who are observing the rituals and missing the entire point of what the rituals were all about. And that's exactly what happened to the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites in Jesus' day. They would come and want to kill Him because He healed somebody on the Sabbath day. He broke their law. And they were going to do something damaging to Him because He had done good. They missed the whole point that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It was to help us. It was to bless us and picture something, not to be some ritual that we were punished if we didn't observe it. Let me go back to the Old Testament and show you what the Sabbath was really picturing. Now, I'm going to use some scripture here, but there's so much scripture on this that I haven't got time to turn to all of it. I'm just going to paraphrase or summarize some of these things, and then we'll use some scripture to show you that this is exactly what the scripture is saying. But the Sabbath, here's the logic behind it. You know, regardless of where you live today, anywhere around the world, this program is heard all across Europe, Africa, Asia, different places. If you've got any Christian religious background, the Sabbath, or a one day a week taking off from work, is kind of a common thing. And even though not everybody observes it, everybody's familiar with it. You know, I grew up in Texas, and when I was a kid, they actually had what they call blue laws. And there were government laws forbidding malls to open, car dealerships to open. They still have those kind of things in Colorado. Car dealerships cannot open on a Sunday in Colorado, and there's different things. Anyway, those were called blue laws. And so what I'm saying is I grew up with this concept of working only 5 days a week or 6 days a week or something like that. Most people watching this broadcast have been exposed to that, and so it's not totally abnormal to you. But you've got to remember that when the Jews came out of the land of Egypt and God gave these laws and instituted the Sabbath as one of the Ten Commandments, keeping the Sabbath, that was just totally radical. Nobody on the face of the earth operated that way, not even the Jews. These people didn't grow up only working 5 or 6 days a week. But during that period of time, before we saw the development, the technology, and all of the knowledge increase that we've got now, people were working 7 days a week, I mean long hours, 12, 14 hours a day, and they were barely getting by and barely scraping out a living the way that it was. To think that a person could only work 6 days out of 7 days and still survive was a huge step of faith. And that's one reason that God gave it. Here's one of the main reasons for the Sabbath. When God brought the Jews out of the land of Egypt, He wanted them to recognize that He was their source, that He was the one that delivered them. It wasn't their might. It wasn't their power. They didn't overcome the Egyptian government. It was God. It was their relationship with God that provided the blessings on their life. And He wanted to illustrate it in a way that it would be practical and that every single week they would have to come to face to face with the fact that, you know what, God is our source. It's God that makes us prosper. So how did He do that? He told them to take 1 day out of 7 off. And again, this was abnormal. It was unusual at that time. And the natural mind would think, well, if I don't work 1 out of 7 days, I'm going to fall behind. I will not see as much prosperity in my life as the rest of these nations and everybody else who's working 7 out of 7 days. But you know what? As they observed it and took the Sabbath off and took 1 day out of 7 off, did you know that they prospered more than any of the nations around them? And what it was illustrating is that, you know what, it is not your effort. Yes, you go out and plow your fields and plant the seeds and you hoe it and you take care of it. And there's things that you do, but you know what, it is not just your effort that is causing you to prosper. It's your covenant relationship with God that is causing you to prosper. And to illustrate it, take 1 out of 7 days off and your crops are better than everybody else's crops who work 7 out of 7 days. The only explanation for that was that there was a blessing from God, an anointing, a supernatural ability that flowed through them to their crops and to their herds, and they prospered more than the people who worked more than them. It was a sign that they were resting in the Lord and trusting in Jesus and trusting His provision and not just their effort. And then, lest anybody misunderstand this, maybe they get so used to taking 1 out of 7 days off that they just think somehow or another maybe their ground is more fertile or it's a mistake or it just happened. Lest anybody misunderstand this, God gave them a command to take not only 1 out of 7 days off, but to take 1 out of every 7 years off. Boy, that's awesome. Now, in case anybody missed the symbolism and the point that was being made in taking the Sabbath off, what about taking this Sabbath year once every 7 years? Look at what the Scripture has to say here in Leviticus chapter 25 in verse 2. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord." Now see, the Sabbath wasn't only a day, 1 day per week, but it was also 1 year per 7 years. It's calling it a Sabbath. Take a Sabbath unto the Lord. In verse 3, it says, 6 years you shall sow thy fields, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. In the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest shalt thou not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the Lord. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servants and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee and for your cattle, etc. And it goes on. It even goes on beginning with verse 8 down here and says, not only do you take one out of every 7 years off, but then in the 49th year or in the 50th year, after you've observed 7 Sabbaths of year, that's going to be a year of Jubilee. And it goes on and talks about that. But you know what this is saying? It's the same principle that the one day a week Sabbath was trying to present. Then instead of you thinking that it's just your effort and your work that is producing your prosperity, take one day a week off and show that God is the one that is blessing you. God's causing the multiplication. It's your covenant relationship with God. Lest anybody miss that, well, then take one out of 7 years off and you can't reap your harvest. You can't sow anything. You can't do anything. You can't prune your vineyards. You have to let everything go. And you know what? How could they survive taking 1 year off and doing nothing? It's the same principle, because they were resting in their covenant relationship with God. You know, I've got more to share about this. I'm going to continue on the other side of the break. But I do want to remind you that today's the last day I'm offering you this tape entitled Our Sabbath Rest. Our announcer is going to give you some information about that, and I encourage you to please take advantage of it. So listen to this, and then I'll be right back on the other side of the break to continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Our Sabbath Rest is available on a single CD, or it's available on a DVD made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD number TK19C or DVD number T3504D when you contact the ministry. You can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
So we've been talking about the Sabbath rest, and we've been talking about that this is what God intended for the Old Testament Sabbath to picture. It was to illustrate and to show us that God is our source. And it wasn't just about the observance of a day. It was about trusting and relying upon God. So we talked about the Sabbath day, one day out of each week. But then here in Leviticus chapter 25, it talks about that you have to take 1 year out of every 7 off and not work. You couldn't prune your vineyard. You couldn't reap the harvest that grew naturally. You couldn't till the land. You couldn't sow any new crops. You just had to let it go. And it says that it was for the animals of the field. They could come and eat the crops that grew naturally. It was for the poor of the land. They could come and glean it. But the person who owned it could not work or do anything. Now, the immediate question that arises, once you say something like this, is if I take 1 year off and don't sow my crops and don't reap any crops, how will I survive? How can you take a year off and not work and survive? Well, here's the answer. Over in Leviticus chapter 25, this is the same context. In verse 20, This is what the Lord instructed Moses to say to the people. He says, and if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And you shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of the old fruit until the ninth year, until the fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. What he's saying is that if people say, well, what are we going to do if we take an entire year off? You know how God dealt with this? On the sixth year, he gave a triple crop. He gave them 3 times what was normal so that they could eat it of it during the sixth year, then during the seventh year, and they still ate of that bumper crop. And then even during the eighth year, when they were sowing their crops again and tilling the land before the harvest came in, they were still eating of that bumper crop that came in on the sixth year. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but this is absolutely supernatural. I mean, every 6 year, and it didn't happen on the fifth year or the second year or the third year. It was the sixth year, boom, here was triple the increase, triple the crops, triple prosperity to allow them to observe this Sabbath and go all the way up until the ninth year when they started receiving the crops again. It was supernatural. There was no way anybody could mistake this. Maybe you could think that if you took one day out of seven off, that you know what, they could understand that and maybe miss the point. But there's no way that anybody could miss that if you take 1 year off, how in the world are you going to survive? Because God gives you a triple crop. You know what it was? It was a testimony. It was a picture, a symbol that God is your source. And if you will honor God and rest in the Lord and cease from your work and just trust that God, even though I want to do something, I feel like I've got to be doing something, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to do what your word says. And I'm going to rest in you and in my covenant. And you do that and boom, God gives you a triple increase. And you know what? For anybody who would listen and pay attention, this was such a strong lesson that God was the source of the Israelites' prosperity. Here was the rest of the nations working 7 out of 7 days in a week, and they weren't as prosperous as the Jewish nation. And then the Jews came along and even took 1 year out of seven off, and they still prospered more than all of the other nations that slaved 7 days a week every single year. There was no way around this. It was God's blessing. And that's what the Sabbath was all a picture of. So going back to Hebrews chapter 4, these are the passages of Scripture that I began this teaching from. In Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about this rest. Let me just go back. In verse 9, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." All of these were picturing something that is now a reality. And you know what this was picturing? Is that in the new covenant, Jesus has now come, and the only thing that God has ever created since the original creation of the earth is He made a new creation. Through the new birth, He made us a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new." The only creation God has ever done is to create a new species of people that have never existed before, Christians. And when He made this new species of being and we became Christians, we don't have to go to God every time we have a need and say, "Oh God, heal me." God has already provided your healing before you ever got sick. Just the way that God created the trees and the food that Adam needed before He created Adam, God created your healing before you were ever born, before you were ever born again. God already has provided your healing. God has already provided your financial blessing. God has already provided your joy and your peace. Everything has already been done. And you need to enter into a relationship where you just rest, trust, rely upon the fact that God has already done it, and quit trying to get God to do what He's already done. See, the average Christian is pleading, "Oh God, save me. Oh God, heal me. Oh God, pour out your joy. Oh God, send revival." As if God has to do something, as if it's God who hasn't released His power. What I'm telling you is God has already done His part. Everything that you ever need, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit has already been given by God. It's already been created. God is not answering people's prayer in the sense that He's doing these things brand new for us today. I'm going to shock some of you with this, but God doesn't heal people today. The Lord has already healed every person, not only Christian but non-Christian, from the time that Jesus was on this earth all the way up through eternity, as long as men exist on this earth. Every single healing has already been purchased and accomplished. God's already created that healing power. It's a done deal. And when you get born again, God puts that healing virtue on the inside of you, and you don't have to ask God to do it. Ask God to create your healing. Instead, what you need to do is humble yourself and quit trying to make it happen on your own. Quit trying to get God to heal you, and just start resting in the fact that, Father, I thank you that you've already done it. Now, all of that being said, look at this verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Now, this just sounds like it undoes everything we've said. We're talking about resting. We're talking about relying upon God, trusting and relying upon Him. And this says labor to rest. How do you labor to rest? Again, if you think that rest means just doing nothing, if you think that rest means you're tired and so you just lay down and recover strength, well, then that doesn't make sense that you labor to rest. But rather, what this is talking about, it's talking about in a spiritual sense, about getting to a place where you don't feel like you've got to make God do something. You don't have to go to God and get Him to love you. He already loves you. You don't have to get Him to heal you, to bless you, to prosper you, to deliver you, to get you this new job, to do this. God's already done it. And what you've got to do is rest and rely upon it. Now, if that's what you're talking about, that you just quit trying to make it happen on your own. Quit trying to force, badger God into giving you what you need. And instead, you just in faith start resting and saying, "Father, I believe you've already provided it, and I receive it." Now, if that's what you're talking about, which is what I'm talking about, that's what the Scriptures here are describing. If that's what you're talking about, did you know what? It takes a lot of effort to rest. You have to labor to enter into that kind of a rest. You know why I read the Bible? I don't read the Bible to make God do something. I believe that God's already done it. But I read the Bible to renew my mind and help me to rest in the Lord. So it takes effort, labor. I have to get into the Word and study it and not just read a little verse every once in a while. But I have to be in the Word constantly and renew my mind. It takes effort for me to rest and go against what I feel in my physical, natural person, and instead let my spirit man dominate me. Do you know, it takes effort when I'm looking at somebody that's dying of cancer and it looks like they have already got one foot in the grave. It takes effort for me to be able to shut down my physical mind and my carnal sight and all of these things and instead go by what I feel in my heart. And if I don't invest that effort and spend time in prayer and studying and seeking the Lord, well, then I won't be able to rest in the fact that God has done it when I see something that looks contrary. It's just like the Scripture says here, you have to labor to enter in to this supernatural rest, a relationship where you believe that God has already done it and you just trust in it. I tell you, I hadn't arrived, but I've left. And I can tell you that in the face of terrible opposition, even when my son died, did you know what? I labored and I began to rest and say, "Father, this doesn't change anything. I don't care what anybody else has said." And I just started praising God and resting in the fact that it's a done deal and God has given me authority. And because of it, I saw my son raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours because I learned to rest. And this is powerful truth. And I know that many of you watching this program haven't entered into that rest. You still are anxious and worried and careful and struggling, and it seems like great effort on your part. I tell you, there is a rest for the people of God, and you can enter into it. Remember, today's our last day to offer you this tape entitled "The Sabbath Rest," and I encourage you to get it. Listen as our announcer gives you that information, and then join me again next Monday for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's teaching titled "Our Sabbath Rest" is available on a single CD, or it's available on a DVD made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD number TK19C or DVD number T3504D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this teaching on CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK19C when you contact us, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I've got so much material that goes along with what I've been teaching on, and I just hadn't got time to advertise it all, but I would like to advertise my website. We've got that address on your screen, and we've been getting over 10,000 visits to our website per day, and there's just a lot of people receiving. We've got over, I think it's 300 or 400 of my teachings available as a free MP3 download that you can get right there. You can get 7 years worth of my television programs, about 8 to 10 years worth of my radio programs. I've got books. I've got articles. You can order any of my materials online. And if you'll sign our guest book, I read that every day. So please visit us.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs. Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.